Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
It's that time again. Welcome to Shift Real Talk Tuesdays. And today I'm so elated because I have the girls here from Chick Chat. We started a Chick Chat Real Talk podcast. Yeah. And so we got Lady Alicia over here, Lady Alicia, and we have I changed her name,
that's
Lady
fine.
K.
That's okay.
So, y'all, we're going to get back into some daddy issues today. So,
and they allowed me to sit in, too, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut today, I guess.
Already talking.
So, listen, we're just going to have girl talk. So, when you're ready for this, share it, like it. You're going to want to see it. Come back after this.
Come back.
All right, y'all, we are back. So today, we are still talking about daddy issues. This is part two. You know, it was so good last week. We just could not go on to another episode of Shift Real Talk Tuesdays. So listen, last week we ended off with a real nice little... Girl, listen, I looked back at the podcast, and I'm saying, me and your dialogue, when we were talking about how I tell Jesse everything, I like, Kizzy, you was like, I tell my husband everything. Mm-hmm. And I look over, and I'm like, okay, Lady Alicia, what you got? You was like, I don't got that. And I'm like, girl, I'm like, what? She said, what? So, I mean, that's so interesting that you were so transparent, and then I had so many comments. Ladies was like, okay, what's she talk about? What you mean? So I mean, I know not to go in too deep. Help us understand where we ended up at.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, all ladies can relate to this, right? It's not always easy to communicate with your man just because... And we have different communication styles.
Yeah.
We communicate differently. And I consider myself to be a boss.
Okay, boss.
Right?
Yeah.
So where I work, I'm a leader. I have my own business. So the way that I communicate is different from a lot of women.
Yeah.
Soft. So I'm learning that sometimes I have to be a little softer.
In your approach.
In my approach. and I'm the only girl. I have three brothers. So it's different type of dialogue. Talking with them is different from talking to my husband. And I have to realize that and take that step back. But, yeah, I think that may be one of the biggest problems or one of the main reasons why our communication is not as good or transparent as I would like it to be.
Okay, so let me tell you what I just did.
What?
I just zoomed right past God, baby. We ain't praying nothing.
Let's welcome him.
Okay, everybody. This is your girl, Lady Free. This is your girl, Lady Free, and we got Pastor Jay over here. We gonna ask Pastor Jay.
You forgot Pastor Jay too, you know?
I mean,
you forgot everybody.
I was ready to get in it.
I know.
So let's go ahead and do this prayer. Pastor Jay, can you give us some of Jesus?
Lord, we thank you, God. We honor you, God. We adore you, God. We just thank you, God, because you're amazing, God.
Yes,
God, we thank
God.
You for each and everyone that's here today, God. And God, we just thank you for the listeners, God. We thank you for the marriages. We thank you for the relationships, God. Oh, God, we thank you for how the first relationship, God, was your relationship, God, yeah. with your son, God. And we just thanking you, God, that we just want to model ourselves after you and God, when you lead us, God, we want to go wherever you take us, God.
Yeah.
And God, we just asking you, God, for us to be ever so hearing to your voice, God. And we thank you right now for this conversation that we're about to delve into, God. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, we thank you for these ladies.
Yes, Lord.
Having this conversation, being transparent with the people. So, he's talking about I walk right past God.
Sorry, Lord.
Well, yes, please.
We had already welcomed you earlier today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, how you think the relationship with your father play a role in your relationship with your husband?
I think, probably up until I was 27. Okay, I'm going to say this.
Okay.
I was raised to be a very independent person.
Right, okay.
Woman, period.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that my daddy instilled. You don't need no man. He didn't say man.
Come on, dad.
He didn't say man.
Come on.
But you don't need him for nothing.
Uh-huh.
Because whatever you need, if you ain't got it, I got you.
You come to me.
Right, right.
Right.
So, I went moving into my relationship and then becoming engaged, it was more of that I had to get out of that habit of saying, you know, okay, you can go. Like, you don't want to do this?
Deuces.
I'll holler at you.
Wow.
Because that was my mindset. Like, okay, we ain't going to do this right. We ain't going to do this the way I want it to be done. I'll holler at you. I'll find somebody else. Or, I'll do this thing myself. And that was my mentality.
Right.
And I thought that it was working.
But
it was not working. Girl, it was bad. Like, ultimatum and everything. And no movement, right? Stubborn.
Right.
Like, my husband was the stubbornest. And I thought, for good reason. Right.
Right. Okay.
And then I had to do some self-evaluation. Me, I was in school doing well for myself, and I was motivated and had convinced myself that I wasn't going to let anybody, male or female, stop me from pursuing what I... So I did those things, not really being considerate of his feelings, my comments that I was making. I wasn't really being considerate of his feelings.
Come on.
And it took us some time of separation. We were not married. We were not even engaged at the time, but some time of separation to realize, hey, you got to do some self-evaluation.
Yeah.
What is really going on? Because we truly, surely cared about each other and where we wanted to go and how we wanted to build together, even though we weren't engaged or married. But took some real self-evaluation that wasn't nobody but the Lord. Because I'm telling you, I feel like I could have went on with life and just been kicking it by myself.
Right.
Because I was comfortable. And by this time,
that was your norm.
Yeah, I was about 26, 27. And
wow,
I felt like I was living the dream.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Until.
That's right.
And I didn't want to do it apart from him, but it took some time of separation for me to realize that. But
sometimes it takes that place of exclusivity.
Yeah.
That secluded place where God says, okay, it's me and you now.
Yeah, but I think my dad being an all-inclusive dad really played a part in how I responded to BJ, because him being there all the time and being available, and I'm talking about everything, okay, you can't be there, BJ? Okay, my daddy will be there.
See, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, people think because your dad was there, like we discussed earlier, I don't care if you had the all-inclusive dad, if you had the invisible, the peekaboo, the what you call the other guy, the hollow pop.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of daddy you had in your life. We all have daddy issues.
Yeah.
Because you had the all-inclusive dad. But if your husband is not all-inclusive like your dad was, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Because this is how you know that a man is supposed to love me. This is how he's supposed to take care of me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what my daddy did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a good husband. He's a great father.
He's
a friend. He's everything. But if he's not like your dad in some areas, it will make it. Does it ever give you that thing of, well, at first, I'm sure not now, but he don't love
me. For sure. At first, it was like, okay, we need to take the trash out. When I feel like, why I gotta tell you that?
Yeah.
I never heard my mama tell my daddy that.
See? Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Like, comparison. Mm-hmm. It was what I saw my dad do versus what he did. Mm-hmm. And you know, not realizing there were a lot of things that he was made to do that he made up in his mind as an adult.
When I get grown, when I get grown,
I ain't going to cut the grass three times a week. Right. I ain't going to be taking the trash out till I'm ready to. So I had to take a step back, man. And it took us a while, literally.
Yeah.
Before it was like, I need you to understand this. Like, I did this for years not wanting to do it.
Yeah.
You're not about to make me do it.
Now that I'm grown.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's important because we don't understand a lot of times. This is me talking for men, I guess. I mean, you help me out, Pastor Jay, on that one. But a lot of times I feel like we don't understand what men actually go through growing up either. Like, you would never think that, okay, that's the reason he don't want to do that, because I was made to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have to think, even in our relationships today, okay, it's not that he's lazy. It's not that he just is not that guy. He just made up in his mind, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And probably didn't even realize that it became part of his probably list of things that, when I get grown, because we females do it.
Yeah,
we never let another man do this.
That's right.
Yeah. On the little mantle of our heart. I think Stormy O'Martin said that. On the mantle of our heart, I will never let another man break my heart. I will never. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the clock stops at that time.
Yeah.
And on that's the moment we decided. And from that moment on, it's a done deal. Mm-hmm.
Do y'all realize the pressure that sometimes a lot of us men go through because of how you were raised from your dad? So if you had that good dad or that dad that was all inclusive, and if this man that you get with came from a whole different type of background, different, then some women put that expectation on this man. Well, if you ain't doing then my daddy, and it's like, how would you compare me to my daddy? Your daddy? That is not cool.
Listen, we got Kim. Hey, Kim. Bro, Kim,
you ain't married
line.
To your daddy.
Yeah, I used to do that. I did that to my husband too. Because although I was raised by my stepdad, and I know my mom didn't have to work. He did all the shopping for us. And so when I came home from school every day, I had a present on my bed. My mom had a present on her bed and my sister. So every day I came home to a gift.
Yeah.
Every day. So when I got married, I was like, hey.
With my gifts.
Ain't no gift on my bed.
Uh-oh, come on now.
I called my stepdad and I was like, hey, daddy, he ain't buy me no gifts.
Yeah.
Ain't no gifts on my bed. Yeah. And he's like, well, I'm not doing that. I was like, well, that's what my daddy cooked. So my mama didn't have to do anything because
he did it.
So like the clothes, when we buying clothes, I came home and they were in my closet because he went and did that. Yeah. And so when I got older, I thought that was what, because that's what I seen him do. Right. So I was looking for my gifts and he was like, yeah, no, I'm not. That's not me. I'm not that guy.
Right. So how did that affect things?
I mean,
don't look around. He's in the building, people.
I did tell him, I was like, well, listen, you know, my daddy put gifts on my bed.
Right.
And, I would like a gift now. You know, I don't have to buy all the time, but I would like a gift every now and then. When I come home, the gift to be on the bed. He was like, well, yeah, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. So you're going to need to stop looking for them gifts because they ain't coming.
Right.
So that's why I believe it's important, because the scripture says that we're supposed to leave and cleave.
Well, right.
What we do is we don't leave.
We take a little bit of the man.
I think it does say the man should leave and cleave.
We take that stuff with us.
Is that what it say, Pastor?
Look it up, Lady Alicia, because I think it says something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But listen, we have a couple of comments. Hey, Kim. Kim is on the line. What's up, lovely? And we got Lasagna on the line. Hey, Miss Pamela. How are you? Y'all, listen, we have a couple of comments. Kim Scott says, we begin to compare, and that ain't always good.
Yeah. That's true.
When you comparing them with your daddy. I mean, I don't know. I said my daddy a lot. I didn't even realize how much I was saying, well, my daddy. I didn't realize how much I was saying that until he let me know, you saying that a lot. And I guess it was pressure. Mm-hmm. That I didn't know, because when you have an example of a good father, in my mind, it's like, how was that putting pressure on you to be a good man like my daddy? But I'm not realizing men today aren't raised a lot like the men
back then.
Back then. Mm-hmm.
They different values.
Right. Yeah. Right, right, right. So LaSonya says, but that man appreciates the love from a daddy's girl. You got to elaborate on that one for me, Sonya, because I know we're coming in halfway through a conversation. But I want to get to you, though.
Okay.
Because we were talking, and we kind of got into a nice little rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't talk about your father.
Okay.
I know you talk. You said you was just now letting us know about your stepfather. Mm-hmm. So that means that there's a father there that we haven't touched on. Mm-hmm. What was he?
Like I said earlier, my dad was, I always say that my siblings, it's four of us. We have the same daddy.
Yeah.
But we have a different daddy. Because they live with him.
Right.
I didn't.
Right.
And so I would see him summers, weekends when I moved back to Houston. But I thought that they was getting, because they lived with him, so they was getting him, all of him, the time, the things that I wanted.
Right.
I used to say when I was younger, God, dog, I wish it was two of us. My mom would have had two, so then I would have, somebody could have understood what I was going through when I say, well, dang, they all, because it was three of them. So I was like, it's three of them. And it's one of me.
Yeah.
So I was like, dang, they should have just had another one so I could somebody, you know, share what I'm feeling. So I thought, I didn't realize until I got grown that because they live with him, they didn't get him either. They didn't get him the way I thought that they got him because my daddy was a pastor. So he would go to work at the post office, come home, shower, and he would go to church.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking because you live there, you're getting what I don't get. But it boils down to we all was missing something.
Right.
But I thought, you know, hey, y'all live there. You know, when I would come, and even though I knew what I saw when I would come for the summer and when I would come, it was the same thing. So I don't know why I thought that they was getting something different.
Yeah.
But I saw it because when I was there for the summer, he worked, church, come home, we church, bed.
Right.
So, and up, doing it again. So I don't know why I thought, oh, well, you know, they getting something different. I just did.
Maybe because you probably was like, well, at least, I mean, it don't matter. They have them, though.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times in our thoughts, well, not mine, because my father was there, but my father was how your father was. Mm-hmm. He was home. He woke up in the morning. He went to church. He went to Bible study. He mm-hmm. went out of town to preach here. He came home. He took a shower after because he worked on houses and stuff, too. So after that, he would come home, take a shower, and we'd go to Bible study.
Mm-hmm. That was in church for 7 days a week, seemed right. like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yes, he was doing a great work for the Lord and for the kingdom, and that's very noble. But at the same time, I have a brother that we just found out about, probably about, what is it now? 3 years now? And he's the oldest of all of us. Now, I would love to understand, like, what did he think? Because he probably thought we was getting this, the great man that everybody knew my father was. Mm-hmm. But we were getting bits and pieces mm-hmm. of who he was, which made us angry mm-hmm. at him. And we couldn't really appreciate him for the man that he was because we wanted more. Mm-hmm. Like, you, to me, it was like you just giving us the little, you know, what you have left over
yeah.
after the day is done or, mm-hmm. you know, especially as we got older, it was four girls in the house, with our little attitudes, different mm-hmm. emotions here and there. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said, you thought
I did.
That they were getting something you wasn't getting.
I did. And even when I got grown, I was like, okay, when I have my kids, I want my kids to know my daddy because I didn't.
Yeah.
So I want them to be able to say, hey, oh, I know Poppy, I'm this. But then it came to a point where I got mad at my dad and I left. I didn't talk to my daddy for years.
Wow.
Because I felt like, okay, you didn't do what you needed to do when I was younger. You ain't doing what you need to do now that I'm grown, even though I don't, you know. So I left. And so we didn't talk for a long time. And so he would call my husband and be like, hey, tell her, call me. And he would call my mama, hey, you know, I ain't talking to her. But my kids talked to my daddy all the time.
Right.
My kids would go. My sister would come pick my kids up. So my daddy saw my kids. He just didn't see me. He's always talked to my husband. He just didn't right. talk to me because I felt that he didn't do what I felt he should have done. And then, I don't know, one day I was riding down Scott. And the Lord say, okay, now, call your daddy. So I called him. And he was like, ooh, hello? I could tell that he was shocked that I was calling him because I just wouldn't talk to him because I just felt like he didn't do, I don't even know what it is that I needed him to do.
Yeah. Hmm.
But I know all my life I've always said, I just want to be that daddy's girl.
Come on now, we're going back to the daddy's.
That's
girl.
What I wanted. Yeah. And so I told my husband, I said, when my daddy died, the last maybe year and a half of his life, I was like, I told him, I said, well, I got what I wanted.
Wow.
And he didn't do anything special. He didn't do anything that he hadn't already done. I think I had to grow up. I don't want to say grow up a little bit, but my relationship with God changed.
Yeah.
So because my relationship with God changed, my relationship with my daddy changed.
Wow.
That's good. But that's true, though, mm-hmm. right? Because I think a lot of times we put people mm-hmm. in the place that we should have God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I trusted you. When people break your trust mm-hmm. and it hurts to the core yep. and it's like, I trusted you. But no, but you're not supposed to trust me that much.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Your trust should be in God
and
that
his
much.
His plan for this thing, honey, mm-hmm. because. Because
the Lord, I had that happen to me and the Lord had to convict me about that. What you trusting him mm-hmm. like that for?
Yeah.
All your trust is supposed to be in me.
Right. Come on. So
people cannot provide you. What God is supposed to provide right. you. Mm-hmm. That level of peace, that level of trust, that level of understanding, even that level of love.
Yeah.
People cannot love you the way that the Lord can. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because the void that's in your heart, in your soul, is too big.
Yeah.
For any one human,
that's
any
right.
drug, any alcoholic bottle, yeah. it's way, way, way too big for any of those mm-hmm. things to fill it, no matter yeah. how much you do it. Because the more you do it, the more empty you feel.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I believe that a lot of times, because the battle is in our mind, mm-hmm. And I believe that a lot of times the enemy uses those figures because remember, everything that happened, God allows. Mm-hmm. So if he used that imperfect man, mm-hmm. it was something in that perfect man that was to create you.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
what we do is we go on and we keep in our mind what this imperfect man was mm-hmm. or what he wasn't in our life. Mm-hmm. So now we're battling with this thing in our mind and yeah. we're bringing this into yeah. the relationship that we can. My dad hurt me, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to let you hurt me.
Yeah.
So we go into these protective things. So the thing is, like you right. said, if we keep our mind stayed on Christ
mm-hmm.
and Jesus, so all those mishaps mm-hmm. will be replaced.
I don't understand.
Yes, lean not to your own
understanding. You can't lean on it. It'll let you down.
It sure will.
So I really believe it's a trick
mm-hmm. yeah.
to keep us battling in our mind and battling in, and because in our minds is where we form our thoughts and where we form
right.
our reasoning
right.
and mm-hmm. which goes into how we behave
yeah.
from our minds.
Yeah. mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. And then when you think about it, your mind told you that it was a grand picture,
mm-hmm.
like the fantasy of what you thought was happening in the house, although you saw it every summer, Christmas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that we talking now about having the daddy. Mm-hmm. I had the daddy. And everybody thought that because you got your daddy.
Yeah.
yeah.
I used to hate that.
I used to hear that too.
Like,
yeah. mm-hmm.
just because I have my daddy doesn't mean that I don't have
issues boys. And boys. Yeah.
yeah, because mm-hmm. I remember I was dating this guy and we were engaged. He didn't even give me no ring, y'all, but okay. we was engaged. Everybody thought we was getting
with no ring.
Stop it. yeah, and I'm grown. I'm grown
no
too
ring.
At this point. This is right before Jesse and I got married. And I remember what? Don't laugh at me, girl.
I'm laughing at Jesse talking about and no ring.
And no ring.
Yeah.
How you engage in no ring?
Because you know, I had gotten a little older and I started just feeling like, oh well, God, this must be what you have for me. So if this what you have for me, I'm gonna handle it. You know, I'm gonna rock it out. But my father was not big on telling us we were beautiful.
Mm.
He wasn't big on affirming us in way. In I don't know if he felt like that he didn't want us to get prideful.
Yeah.
He always wanted us to stay humbled. So I guess that's the way, you know, he kind of put it in there. You know, I knew he loved me. That was hands down. But I never really heard him say, you're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard those things. I did hear, don't tell her, not to make it sound bad, but almost that paraphrase of don't tell her that because I don't want her to think that, you know. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to make my daddy sound bad because he, I can't say how he said it, but I know how I took it as a kid.
Yeah.
So dating this guy, we told my daddy we were dating. My daddy say, and I was waiting for a response. And my dad say, you don't want to hear what I got to say. I said, yes, we do. He said, no, if you wanted to hear what I had to say, you would have told me this before y'all got together. Because it was a situation where I dated this guy before in the past. I dated him. I tried. I really did. But when it came to a point where I just couldn't do it no more. I was like, God, I know that this is not all you have for me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to call my dad. And I said, Daddy, why is it that you told me why is it that you didn't agree with this? And for the first time in my life that I can remember, he said, well, Alma, and the person know what I'm talking about. I pray that this don't hurt any feelings. But this is the advice. He said, he's like a meat and potatoes type of guy. He said, you like a fine wine and exotic cheese and meats type of person. He said, you always said like you wanted to travel the world and he's fine just living in Valdosta doing, you know, as long as he come home and you there and everything, he'll be happy with that. He was like, so that's not what I want for you. Something in me clicked. Like, yeah. Wow. So I said, I felt like a little kid. I said, Daddy, you think that of me? He said, a man of very few words. That's it. I was like, wow. From that moment on, I decided I'm not gonna settle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just that and one you didn't. Word. Well, all right.
She didn't settle, y'all.
You're right about it. I give you that. I did settle. But that one word from my daddy, he was there all my life. Mm-hmm. But it was certain things that he wasn't raised by his mother or his father. So it was certain things he didn't know to give us.
Right.
So when he said that, it was like, wow, my daddy thinks like big of me.
Yeah.
And inside of me, something flipped, something changed. And at that point, it was like, I broke up.
There's some women online that's talking in TN and stuff. I want to say this to y'all real quick. I want to say this to a lot of times, especially as us being young women and young men, a lot of times we look for who we are in our parents.
Yeah.
And our parents, we don't realize that they come with some shortcomings of themselves. Remember, we had the five different type of dads.
Yeah.
So no matter what kind of dad that is, you're going to have a daddy issue.
Yeah.
You're going to have a mama issue. You're going to have some type of issue because you're not your complete self.
Yeah.
So what we do is we hold on to what they weren't and we take that into our adult years.
We do.
So what we do now is we blame what they weren't and make that our excuse for what we are not to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very bad mistake that we make, young ladies and stuff, and young men.
Yeah.
We cannot hold them accountable for stuff that they don't know.
Because they didn't know.
Because they didn't know. Just like we have struggles. I had struggles raising my kids.
Yeah.
But our fathers and our forefathers before that, they had their own struggles. Mm-hmm. And we can't hold them accountable for their struggles.
And we do.
Agree with that. And I think that's why it's important for your parents as you get older to continue to parent you. Mm-hmm. Right? So they think, oh, she's 21,
right,
she's 25.
Finally.
Yeah, that's true.
She can go.
That pertains to child support, but we ain't gonna talk about that. Keep going.
But I think that it's important for parents to even parent you after you become an adult. Because they can say, when you're in that time where you're struggling with your child or whatever the case may be, they could say, baby, I ain't know that either.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it can be an experience of admission of I did this because I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a learning experience instead of a broken place that you're finding yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think as parents, we have to remember that. We have to remember that just because our child has reached adult age does not mean that parenting ends. It does not end. You just parent a different way.
Yeah. And then it seems like I like how you're positive with it. But it seems like when we talk about parenting after a certain age, it's always a negative thing. Like, oh, Lord, they done came back, you know, or different. Or if you do as a woman, oh, you know, you keep your baby babying them. Yeah. It's like, no, it's not that I'm babying them. It's just that as a woman, women nurture. That's who I'm going to be. Big mama nurtured. You know what I'm saying? That's who I'm. That's who we're going to be from the from till the day that we die. You know, we're going to be a nurturer unless you want us to nurture you now. Then it's a problem. Now you treat no, you ain't my mama. Now don't be treating me like no, you know.
All day.
I got but it's one
like,
mama.
Right. So it's like, and then as pertaining to what you said, we as young children, when we're growing up, we see our parents almost like superheroes. If
on a pedestal.
I mean, even even if your daddy wasn't there, in your imagination, you see if my daddy was here. He wouldn't, this dude wouldn't be acting like this or whatever. And it's, we put this big fantasy thought thing on what our daddy would be if he was here. Or if my daddy is there, you see him as, I saw my daddy, I mean, even though he wasn't always there, I wanted him to be there because my daddy to me was like, I took the good stuff away. My daddy was very hardworking. I hear the little stories about my dad. It's like, how he took care of four kids. My mother did not work. So I don't, I was hard on me and like, you have no, you have no, no children and you have no car. Like it's really, you can't do the, okay. You can't pay my little bill. My lights do. You can't, and that's how I was in dating. That's how I was when until God arrested my heart. But it was like, wait now, you can't even pay my little bill? Yes. Well, yes. Because that's how I was.
Because you dating to get married. So you
wasn't.
Oh, that's why she was married.
Well, I wasn't. But I mean, I understand most women probably
would. Well, that's what she's supposed to be doing.
Well, but that for me, it was like, you can't do this small thing.
Yeah.
But I saw my dad raise four kids with my mother not having a job. Mm-hmm. I never saw a light get turned off. We did not move from house to house, place to place, because we got evicted. Never got evicted that I know of. If we did, they probably just pretended we was moving. But we didn't move that much. They still have the same phone number they had. It was like that consistency and that stability. So when I see a man, an able-bodied man that doesn't have that, it's almost like I frown upon it.
It's like,
I frown because it's like ill. But see, I don't feel like that's an unrealistic expectation for, because I don't know. I just feel like black men are strong. We we are strong. You're strong. And it's so much that you can carry on your shoulders that you just make excuses because I didn't have this and this wasn't this. And maybe that's just me not being sensitive to the issue, but that's just how I feel. I saw my father do it.
So could it be that the absentness of what your father wasn't or what your parent was, it was actually teaching you what not to do in your or what to do in your relationship?
I will say that when I got with my husband, I told him I didn't look at my parents' relationships because my mom was married, my dad had remarried. So I looked past my parents and looked at my grandparents. My grandparents stayed married up until my grandfather died. So when I got with my husband, I told him, not saying that their relationship was perfect or anything, I just only wanted to be married one time.
Right.
I wanted all my kids to be by the same person.
Right.
And so I looked at my grandparents and I was like, I want what they have. I want the longevity. I want they had the fun or whatever. Didn't have much. 8 kids in a 3-bedroom house.
Come on.
But
now.
I wanted what they had. My mom saying, "Well, I did the best I could." No, I'm not saying that you didn't do the best you could. I just only want to be married one time.
Yeah.
I don't want to have this child by this person and this child by this person. And then I marry this person.
Right.
That's not what I want.
You think being that child that wasn't in the home had a lot to do with that?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah,
probably so. Because I didn't want my kids to ever feel what I felt.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't want them to. What I was saying, I don't want them to have a step anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want you could. Because you never know what you're gonna get. You could get a good. You could get a bad. You just never know what you're gonna get.
Right.
So I never wanted my kids to. I don't want them to have to ever go through that. So when I got married to my husband, I was like, "Oh, listen, I just want you to know you ain't going nowhere."
You better know that.
You stuck with me.
You better know that. That's covenant. That's the difference between covenant and contract, people. Okay?
Yeah, you're not going nowhere. Okay. We and I even tell my husband right now, listen, when you die, I'm coming with you. We're going together.
Right. Oh, my
goodness.
And
he's goodness. Talking about, listen, if the Lord, he's talking about
the Lord. He said he's going to die by himself.
And that's all right. He's going to wake up in heaven. I'm going to be right there. Hey,
I got your ribs.
I'm going with him.
But listen, we have a comment. Okay. Kim says, my four children by marriage feel my two children received more and better from their dad because he was here. But to be honest, he was just as busy. They are still holding on to the past, and they are adults now. That is not a healthy life. Healing has to take place. Wow. It's like, but how do you imagine that the children outside the home, imagine the stuff that they get when the parents are at odds, when the mama is bad and my family. It just even go further than that. It's like, can you even imagine that? Like, you're in the home. You hear all of these negative things about this dad, but then over here, everybody sees this great man, talks about this great man, not your situation, because I'm not exactly, I mean, I don't know, but healing has to take place. Mm-hmm. But how does healing take place? Mm-hmm. On top of, I mean, because she says they think that, you know, the children outside of the marriage feels like her two children inside of the marriage got it better, like how you felt. How speak to that.
You know, I wouldn't say that because my mom never said anything bad about my daddy. She was like, whatever you're going to find out about your dad, you're going to find out on
your
own. That's
how I was, yeah.
So what I found out is because my dad told me. And he was like, well, you know, I was young and I did this. I didn't know any better, so I did this.
I think that's how it should come.
And so she was like, I'm not finna sit up in here. What my mom did was, she would tell me how something. She's like, you put your daddy up on this, because again, I wanted to be daddy's girl. You know, every girl, and you put your daddy up on this pedestal. And so she went to the hospital, and I was like, oh, my daddy gonna do this, and my daddy gonna do that. And next thing I know, my mom had put me out.
Oh my!
And she was like, you going on over there with your daddy?
Oh my!
Like, oh really? Uh-oh. Girl, I was just playing. You put me out for real?
Yeah, get out.
But you need me though. You need. She was like, going on over there with your daddy. And so I was like, but girl, no, look, it's me and you though. And so she would never, never, and even to this day, she said, that was your daddy. What you think of your daddy is what you think of your daddy.
Yeah.
But when I wasn't talking to them, she was like, okay, now listen, you know what the Lord said? I'm like, I want to hear what the Lord said. I talk to the Lord on my own. But she was like, no, you know, that's your daddy. You only get one. I was like, yeah, I got that.
Honor your daddy, girl.
I got that. But I just stayed away. And she was like, okay, he called me again and he said, you ain't calling. And I said, girl, and I didn't. So you just, because that stubborn that you say,
wow.
It wasn't until God said, hey, call your daddy.
You know what I did? I did, when I really started getting into the world, I realized a lot of stuff that I did wrong when I was little. Because the thing is, God, we expect God to do a lot for us, but he's given us the power to do it ourselves. So the thing is, every king and every powerful man of God, they were raised at a young age. So I believe it's been tricked to us, and especially in our eye gates, that this issue that I saw, or this issue that I went through, is the issue that's going to overtake me. But we have the power to speak that issue into not being what it's supposed to be or what it was. So I believe that the way to handle it is just to understand the power that you have and understand that everything you've gone through, everything that you saw, everything that you felt was to bring you to where you are today.
Yeah.
So all this is building who you are.
Yeah.
It's building you. It wasn't meant to destroy you. Yeah. It was meant for your good.
Yeah.
All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord.
Yeah.
So it was actually working for us.
It was.
Yeah.
But we tell ourselves, oh God, I can't. Oh God,
I can't handle this.
I can't handle this.
And yes, you God can, took you fellas.
Through it, took you through it because you can't handle it.
My soapbox.
Yeah.
You're
in the middle of it. Yeah. But I think as human beings, when you're right in the middle of it,
come on.
You can't see as clear. It's cloudy.
You can't.
It doesn't make sense. And it's unfortunate, but a lot of times we don't realize the good of those things until we are adults.
Yeah.
It's really when we establish ourselves as children of God that we realize
that clarity.
He will give you a renewed mind.
It's that cloudiness begins to fade and you have a better understanding, especially as you grow. And y'all, I know we keep saying that, but really and truly, that's what it is.
Keep saying it because it's necessary.
That's what it is.
It's necessary. Mm-hmm. I mean, and going back to you, Kim, I mean, I wish that we could help our children or those children who have that feeling understand that the idle mind is a devil's workshop. And trust me, if there's a workshop, something is being built. So it's a story. It's a narrative.
We build it.
That we build as kids because that's what we know how to do. We know storytelling.
Females, we're really good at
We're really good at it. And it's like we don't understand that is a tactic of the enemies. It's a tactic of the devil and his lies that he tells us that we fall for, that they getting it better over there. He attacks us from young. He tries to destroy us from young age. Probably that slap that we get that make us cry when we babies, that'll probably be him. You know, but no. Just, I mean, and being honest, he tries to get us from birth. So why not try to instill in this child, he must didn't love you enough, or he ain't love you like he loved them. Jealousy come in. Oh, you're not worth enough. You weren't worth enough for him to stay. Oh, you look at him. You only get to go over on Christmas. You know, when everybody all happy and festive. They don't want you the regular days. You know, and it's all these things that creep in and cause us to have all of these voids. And now, as females, this is the thing that we hear most about. She got daddy issues. She's promiscuous. She date men twice her age because she looking for her daddy. You know, or she's seeking attention. All of these things may just be true. They may be true because somewhere along the line she has this fantasy in her head that it was built that I'm not good enough. I'm gonna find somebody that's, I'm gonna prove to people I'm good enough.
But baby, do you know that most people have issues because of some of the things that they tell themselves?
Because I
remember we used to have arguments, and she would think that I would mean something by the way I'm responding. Until she talked to me and understood, wow, that's what
that intent.
So it's like if we would really understand our fathers.
It's the narrative. It's the story.
Why wouldn't you there? We really got what it was instead of coming up with our own.
Really, how do we? Because I was just sitting here thinking like, we grow up, or kids grow up, in broken homes where their father isn't there, and they're missing all of these words of affirmation. They're missing all that, and that's why women, in a lot of situations, try to be their daddy and try to fill the void. How do we do that? You know what I'm saying? How do we do that without stepping outside of our rightful place? Knowing that our child's father is maybe a peekaboo dad or maybe the invisible dad that's showing up. How do we fill that void to raise legitimate, you know, God-fearing children, citizens of the United States or wherever we may be, to, you know, to be sure that that void is filled. I mean, outside of praying for our children, kids are seeking more than that. They need stability. They need to be touched. They need to be held. So I think that's why a lot of women are actually coming out of their rightful place and trying to move themselves into a place that don't really belong to them, because they're trying to fill voids that they should not be trying to fill.
Like my son's mother said last week, I was a peekaboo dad. Halfway invisible, only because it was hard to even deal with her. So a lot of times, as women, sometimes, again, we go into our head because of what we've seen our fathers go through. So now we're going to protect our kid from this man who may leave. Or they even may just say, because the relationship didn't work out, they make it hard. So
But how do you persevere past that, though?
You got to keep pushing.
You got somebody has to be taught. We have to change the mindset, because that seed that I can plant in your mind to help you understand, because like you said, it was too hard. Well, you know, when a child hears that their mm-hmm. daddy said it was too hard, they immediately go into, you should have fought for me.
For me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should have fought for me. But then think about it, if it was you in this mm-hmm. same situation, how much would you be able to take? Everybody has a cup. You know how much your cup can take. Mm-hmm. It's not about that I didn't want to be there for you.
Yeah.
It's just I knew that I could not take anymore. I tried. Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah. And then they were young. You know, a lot of times we
have to fight for the cookie. So why I got to fight to be?
And then Jesse said that was
fought me. You should have fought me when we.
Please, you probably would have liked it.
No, yeah. I would have been like, okay, I'm back up.
Probably would have liked it.
But see, the thing is, Jesse made a good point. We was talking about this one time. He was like, "But why does there have to be a fight? Why do I even have to fight?
Yeah.
Why? Why is it that you should have fought for me? Why is it that it could not have just been, I was there, we didn't get along, but we still got a child together?" Mm-hmm. You have a lot of kids growing up saying, "You didn't fight for me," so it make them feel unworthy.
Yeah.
No, it's not that you're unworthy. It's just that who can take fight all the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going to jail. Mm-hmm. I'm calling the police on you. I saw one video that really, really, really bothered me. This was a little while back. But this lady had her son, little bitty kid, and she was there antagonizing the man. He was just trying to get in his car to go. She was antagonizing this dude in front of this little kid. Then the little boy started crying. "See, you made him cry." And it's like, this little boy is going to grow up with a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Because the mama wouldn't leave well enough alone. You know, probably because she still wanted him or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't get into her head. I don't know, but it was a real ugly situation where she had her son in the middle. And all he kept saying, he had a video. "Look, y'all, I'm trying to leave." She, you know, he was, it got to that point where he had to videotape what was going on so that people will know, "I'm not hurting this lady. I'm not trying to do nothing to her. She's doing this to me." And she had they baby involved.
See, that's why the Lord wanted, baby that's too. Why he wanted us to wait. That's why he just like, stop doing all this prayer.
Because
it's too complicated.
It's too complicated.
It's too messy.
And we raising a society of children. Like Pastor Terrence said, man talk in the man cave. He said, we have to understand, too, that just like women are looking for their daddies,
these boys
are looking for their daddy. And they romanticize, I think I'm saying his exact words, they romanticize the relationship they wanted to have with the very first man that was supposed to be an innocent male relationship.
Yeah.
And they romanticize it. And next thing you know, they're in relationships with men.
Yeah.
Just like women, we romanticize our father. Now we with Big Daddy, you know, we with Sugar Daddy and everything because we think he going to give us what our daddy didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not realizing he taking from us what our daddy wouldn't.
Shout out to Big Daddy.
Come on, Big Daddy. Hey, Come on, Big Daddy.
Listen, y'all. This is great. These ladies are great, y'all. I wish
everybody. So you're going to stop our conversation? So he going to stop us. Baby, we're not done yet. Give us like 3 more minutes, please. please, because we invited you here.
Yeah, because you're a guest.
Do I have to go into the rules in the she shed?
You are a guest.
No, because, you know, you got to cover everything tonight. You know what I'm saying? I want you to cover everything.
Well, what else do we need to cover?
Huh?
What else do we need to cover?
The shift ball coming up, because this is going to be a continuation of on the shift ball.
The shift love ball,
the
honey.
The shift love ball.
Yes.
Shift love ball. I'm sorry. Listen, y'all. Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to.
Okay. Know. Well, we'll get into that. We have a couple of more minutes, but baby, you just stopped something real good. This could have helped somebody.
Real good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This could have helped somebody.
It is.
Please.
You know, baby. You know what I want to say?
Please, baby.
Sometimes we don't even know that we have daddy issues.
Yeah.
Because I thought because I grew up with a dad, I was like, I'm fine. I had a man in the house. I have a father figure. So I'm fine. It wasn't until I think I had gotten married, and I wasn't been married like 8 years, but I never changed my name. I didn't change my name. I kept my name.
Ooh.
And he kept saying, "You gonna change your name?" I was like, "Nah, I'm fine."
Oh my.
So then I started hyphenating. Noel Franks.
The forbidden hyphen.
Because he wanted me to have his last name, so I hyphenated it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm giving it to
you. But
you
kept Noel.
And it wasn't until, what made me change my name was like, I was like, everybody in the house of Franks except me. Wow. And I was like, were we really married? But I just kept, and then it wasn't until years later that I was in my quiet time with the Lord, and the Lord told me why I didn't change my name. It was because I was trying to stay close to my daddy.
I was about to ask you why. Because you want to stay close to. This is why we have to be more conscious of how we are putting our children in positions where they go against their daddies.
I tried.
Because you tried to keep your name just so you could stay. That was something big. You wouldn't change your married name.
I've been married almost 9 years. And he was like, I was like, no, I'm fine. Wow.
It worked for you.
Yeah, she said, how did they work out?
It didn't work for me. I tried it. My degree's in my maiden name, you know. I've established my career. Wow. He like, either you in or you out.
That's right. You better get in or out.
Yeah.
I had even went to the point where if you look at my driving license, my Social Security card, every last name I have is on my Social Security card.
Wow.
I did you a favor and put Frank's on the end. And so he was like,
wow.
He was like, what?
Come on now.
He was like, what? And I was like, no, you know, I know that you would know well. I was like, I know. Because it's right here.
Uh-oh. And we need evidence.
Ain't no hype, y'all.
Girl,
and
I hear.
He was like, okay. I said, well, I hyphenated Noel Franks. He was like, yeah, no, that ain't. Active. That ain't good for
me.
Yeah, that's not good.
And so finally, I was like, okay. I went head on and just Franks. And I didn't know why. And so the Lord was like, that's why.
You want to stay close to your daddy. Wow.
I didn't know.
Tried that.
When you are given away at your wedding, you drop the name.
Yeah,
you gotta drop it.
Ain't no
Jenkins Moore.
Mine is Alma Jenkins Moore. Only because now I have a different reason. Because I never had a middle name. I always wanted a middle name. So now I have a middle name. Now Jenkins is in the middle. I don't know why that was big for me.
Oh, I had a middle name.
When they address you, they address you as a Moore.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Moore.
Yeah, I would be like, hey, I'm Miss Franks, but everything I had, Noel was, wow. Noel was it.
Come on now.
And so I was like, okay. I know I'm a Noel, but I'm still, you know, I'm Franks.
So, y'all, we've established, it don't matter what kind of father you had, it's the mentality that you have. Mm-hmm. You can have the best daddy in the world. But your daddy may have done some things or said something that made you mad when you were young and you held on to it.
If you're somebody
that hold grudges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your daddy may have told you that you don't need no man. Because a lot of men tell their daughters, you don't need no man. Mm-hmm. If you need anything, you come back to me.
Right.
If he don't know, believe like that guy treats you, then you don't need him.
Right.
that's
right.
That's it.
And so we grow, those females grow up with their own issues. And then you have the daddies who may not have affirmed like you probably needed them to. And then you got those issues. Then you got the daddy that wasn't there. Now I got this great imagination of how amazing my daddy is. And then your mama say, well, go on over there. Not your situation. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I know something like that, too. Well, okay, go live with your daddy. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart said that one time.
He
ended up going to live with his daddy and realized that he didn't even cook them no meal to put it on the table. You know, going in there, there's a refrigerator full of food in there. Mm-hmm. Get it yourself. Mm-hmm. Type stuff. And it's like we have these visions of grandeur for our fathers. And what we have to really do for all of those people who are like need healing, what we have to really do is, okay, you know,
you're
what?
In the she shed.
Yeah, I know, baby, but we have a time limit.
No,
because,
but it's okay because
we don't want to keep going over.
But we not. But I'm gonna need you to take your headphones off and step out of the doors.
I understand that. I'm just
step out of the doors
be,
of the she shed.
But no, we on TV, good. They cut the they cut.
I know,
cut
but
it, so
this,
saying,
we
you know.
We good, baby. So what we gonna
acting
do with
them
people? I thought he said he wasn't gonna say that.
I'm not saying. I'm just helping the lady.
He has said a lot today. He's taking up a lot of our minutes.
We don't need that kind of help.
At least they put him out.
We don't need that kind of That's right, Kim. We're going to put him out, girl.
Kim, you're going to be at the love ball, right?
Okay, so.
So you're taking up our minutes.
Yes, really. What was I saying? Okay, for those people who need healing in that area.
Yeah.
Some of us have to drop the idea and really look at the reality. And some men and women as well, we don't know how to parent.
That's right.
I don't care how many books they write. I don't know how. Nobody knew how to parent TJ. But God, what did I
That's
do?
Right.
I helped him to understand God is your father. So I would take him and say, okay, read that right there. You see, it's whenever it says my son, when you get that's older you. And you can't find your way and you read the Bible and say, my son, that's him giving you advice. Mm-hmm. Like your father would sit down and give you. And I had to put another thought in his imagination.
Yeah.
So anyway, as Pastor Jay said, we are running out of time. But we do want to give a couple of announcements, we have some announcements today. The first announcement would be on February the 19th, we are having a love ball. We need all people on staff, you know, anyway. But no, we're having a love ball, February the 19th. It's an elegant event. I already got my dress and my shoes come tomorrow, you know. And so we're going to dress up really nice. It's a night out for couples. We're going to have food. We're going to have entertainment. We're going to have fun. But most of all, we're going to do it the Shift Real Talk Love Fellowship way. And we're going to have some of this real talk conversation. Because yeah. There's some people in the house that have some amazing questions. They want to get their thoughts out. We're going to come with it. So we're just going to have fun. And we're going to dance. Pastor Noel, we're going to dance, okay? We're going to open up a little dance for
him. He gave us the permission to dance the night away. We're going to follow him.
So the Shift Love Ball, if you have not purchased your tickets and you would like to go, I think we have 5 tickets left. It's $50 per couple. It's definitely worth what you're going to pay and then some. So come on out and have a good time with us. If you like what you see, if this is adding value to your life, please like, share, subscribe, hit the little notification so you can get more of this. We come on YouTube, Shift Real Talk. We're on, of course, Facebook, Shift Movement 2021, as well as channel49tv.com, where you will be able to find us every Sunday at 8 o'clock, channel49tv.com. So if you want to see episodes, if you miss any, hey, you won't miss it because you see us on different platforms. And I love the fact that you guys came to hang out with me again today.
Pleasure to be here.
Yes, because the conversation that women have, like, we definitely need to be heard. Yeah. Like I said last week, we talk a lot. We give a lot of details, but a lot of times we're not heard.
Yeah.
So I appreciate y'all's transparency.
Thank you.
We truly love y'all. And I love my audience. For everyone who came on, y'all, I didn't shout out to everybody like I wanted to. Lasagna. We got Donna Noel on here. We have Robert Franks, Rev Rob on here with his comments. Kim Scott, you know I love you, girl. Who else do we have on here? I'm a Kia. Hey, my baby. Keisha. I love you, Keisha. You know, so we got a few people on here. I don't know who's on your page, but if you haven't shifted, shift over to Shift Movement 2021 so we can see your comments as well. Well, what can I say? Until next time, thank you for joining us. Oh, can we get a prayer?
Come on, prayer.
Can we get a prayer? Can we get a prayer?
Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We obey you. We adore you, God. Thank you for this time, God, that we shared.
Thank you,
God,
Lord.
We bless your name, God, for the pastors that are here that are representing the different ministries, God.
Glory to your
and
name,
as we
God.
Continue to do your will, God, you thank just be you, in the midst, God. We thank you right now.
Right
give us
now.
Traveling mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.